This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. The U.S. government is introducing new measures in the war on terrorism. Today, the Department of Homeland Security announced that foreign airlines will be required to put armed guards or air marshals on flights over American airspace. Starting next Monday, government inspectors will require millions of foreigners visiting this country to be fingered and photographed every time they enter the United States. If you have questions about how these programs will affect your travel, give us a call at 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or email us, TOTN, at npr.org. And joining us now is Vivica Novak. She's the Washington correspondent for Time magazine. She joins us from her office. And good day to you.
It's a pleasure.
Let's start with the Air Marshals announcement. What prompted this move?
Well, I think we saw some, there had already been some talk about this, but I think last week's incident prompted a bit of a hurry-up on it.
The cancellation of the Air France flights.
Six flights from France, yes. I think that incident also showed that there could be problems with the system because the country that we're dealing with won't always agree necessarily that there's a problem with the flight, as France, apparently said that they saw no problem with these flights, and the U.S. is not so sure it agrees. So I think, in addition to pure safety considerations, I think we're going to have some tender diplomatic situations arising from this as well.
And how exactly is this going to work? I mean, what flights are these marshals going to go on? Will the U.S. request it?
Well, the U.S. Will request it. That doesn't mean they can't do it on their own as well. But the U.S. will request it when they believe that they have, we have specific information about a flight that could be a threat.
Now, Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge is scheduled for a news conference within the next hour on this. Are we going to be getting a hard sell on this, do you think?
Oh, I think so. I think it's just going to be, another thing that is sold as a tool in the war on terrorism and keeping Americans safe and secure. And, as with many of these other tools, it's going to be somewhat controversial. And I think, many of the things that we've been doing have been not exactly overwhelmingly popular with some of our allies, and this is something that I think is going to fall into that category.
Let's get a caller in on this, and Bill's on the line with us from Washington.
How you doing?
Okay.
I was curious whether or not Americans might see some kind of reciprocity with these actions when they go overseas in the future.
Such as? Bill?
Yes.
What are you afraid of?
Well, I'm not so much afraid. I'm traveling overseas in the next few weeks, but that's because Uncle Sam sent me to the Middle East. But
I see. Yeah.
I was wondering, and I have some friends who, although they have their resident aliens, whenever they leave or if they fly via Argentina, for example, they have to get to the United States often to get to other countries. Yet now they have to go through this, and I think some countries might see this as some kind of hostile action against their people.
I think you're talking about the fingerprinting and photography part of this.
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, you were leaping ahead of us, Bill, but how about that, Vivica Novak?
The U.S. visit program, that's scheduled to be implemented next week, at least in some airports, starting with Atlanta, with Hartsfield International. I think that, some people will find this somewhat invasive from a privacy standpoint. The fingerprints and the digital photographs that will be taken of, it won't be of resident aliens. It will only be of people who are visiting the country on different kinds of visas. I think, there will be privacy concerns because this information will be available to federal agencies, including law enforcement agencies. And there's such a bad history with the immigration officials of implementing programs and of our not putting enough resources into things. If this program, which looks fine on paper to many people, doesn't really work, if, for instance, the exit procedures, which require you to scan your visa and also to do the fingerprinting again, if, for instance, that doesn't work and the computers don't register you as having left the country, then you're going to have a heck of a time trying to get into the country again. And if the, if it's only up and running in some places but not others, that could cause problems. So it's you know, it's one of those things that could raise more questions than it answers. And, you know, if we don't put enough resources and train enough people to really use the system well, we could run into difficulties.
What about Bill's question, though? In the spirit of reciprocity, might Americans traveling abroad might have to enter their passport, their photograph and fingerprints in London or Karachi or Beijing?
Sure. I don't see why not. I mean, any country could do that. And we might not be terribly happy about that, but I don't think we'd have much room for argument.
Okay, Bill, good luck with your next trip.
Well, thank you. It'll be a long 6 months, but thank you.
All right, we appreciate what you're doing.
I appreciate that.
Bye-bye. Here's an email question from Gabe Britton. What information is available about the credible threats, quote-unquote, that prompted the government to stop those 6 flights from Paris? Any person still detained?
Well, we don't know of anyone who's actually been detained, and there isn't much information available. We believe that we had some information about people who might be on those flights, and especially people, we were concerned about people who didn't show up for the flights. But the French believe that everybody's been cleared and there's no concern, no remaining concern. So, I think it was when we raised the threat level again to orange, there was a lot of concern about how specific the information was, and members of Congress are raising questions about whether we really should be changing colors all the time and concerning Americans who really can't do much about it. The question is always, how specific is the information? And they felt like it was specific enough to raise the threat level, although we don't know exactly how specific it was, and same thing with the flights.
Let's get another caller in. This is Maxine in Boulder, Colorado.
Hi. I'm actually a market analyst in the biometrics industry, so in the industry have been following...
biometrics would trace people's images on photographs and fingerprints and that sort of
thing. Right, that's the face recognition, fingerprint identification, all that stuff, which is integral to this program. And to the issue earlier about reciprocity, there are plans within the EU as a group of nations and individually within almost all the nations in the EU to begin integrating biometrics into their passports, not just to comply with our requirements, but also for their inter-border transfers. So it certainly seems, if not at the very least reasonable, probable that we're going to be subjected to this as we travel in Europe. There's also, within the biometrics community, tremendous questions about how effective this program is going to be that's coming online in January 15th. Most of the folks are sort of scratching their heads and trying to understand how it could possibly work, how they could be pulling this kind of program together in this short a period of time and really have it be effective. The RFP for the larger comprehensive program went out in November, and that is going to be built over a number of years, but people are just highly skeptical. I know the test program they've been doing at Atlanta seems to be working, but there's serious questions about bringing this online when you start adding tremendous volumes of people and have access to systems, computer systems, simultaneously from, 115 entry points.
RFP is Request for Proposals?
That's correct.
Okay.
That was put out by the U.S. government in November.
And they're going to enact this on January 15th?
Well, the RFP is for the larger program, which is going to take several years to develop. Mm-hmm. The program that they've put in place has been a sort of knee-jerk reaction and has been kind of put together in a very hasty fashion. And so there's a lot of discussion within the biometrics community about the effectiveness of the technology being pulled together in that period of time.
Maxine, thanks very much. An interesting phone call.
Thank you.
Vivica, we just have a few seconds left. Briefly, who's covered by this and who isn't?
Well, initially, eventually, everybody is supposed to be covered by it who enters the country, who is not a U.S. citizen or a resident alien. But initially, I think it's going to be people who... are required to have visas to enter this country, so not people from Western Europe or Canada or any of the other countries that don't require visas to get into the United States. But that's still a whole lot of people.
And it could still add up to more delays at airports.
It will certainly add up to more delays at airports. The question is how much? Is it going to be an extra 10 or 15 seconds per person, in which case it's not that big a deal? Or, you know, if it isn't working as smoothly as it might, is it going to be longer? Are they going to be pulling lots of people out of line to wait, you know, for long periods of time? We don't know.
And I guess the case we all have to remember when all this comes up is the shoe bomber, the man who did try to blow up a plane by lighting his sneakers. So there may be reasons for some of this. There may not be reasons for others of it in any case. But Vivica Novak, thank you very much.
It's good to be with you.
Vivica Novak is Washington correspondent for Time magazine. She joined us from her office here in Washington. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.